This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jennifer McClellan is a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. She's also a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia and a member of the Sorensen Institute State Advisory Board. Jennifer joins us on the long line from her office in Richmond. And you are, Jen, you're literally in between meetings, right?
That's right. Yeah, we just got off the House floor, and Commerce and Labor has to have a meeting to take care of one last bill.
And this is the fat lady's about to sing. At least y'all close it down on Saturday, right?
I hope so.
But you might be coming back for transportation just like last year?
I do, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get agreement on the budget Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So they'll knock off and then but have a couple of extra sessions maybe this summer?
Yes.
Goodness gracious. That's getting to be a regular thing, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes.
So much for the citizen legislature. It's getting to be a full-time job here.
Yeah, well, it's a little easier on me since I live literally down the street, but it's getting harder.
Yeah. So let's talk about an issue of central interest here to those of us here in the Charlottesville area is the recent news that VDOT basically said, look, we don't have any money for you, and you're on your own when it comes to all these road projects. And, you know, we've got a long list of road projects and that we need here as we grow in central Virginia, but we don't seem to be seeing any money come from Richmond. And as you say, we're going to see the General Assembly end again Saturday with transportation still unsolved. The Virginia Supreme Court ruled recently that the idea from last year that we have regional authorities create new taxes to pay for transportation in specific areas, that is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen? What's next?
Well, I mean, as you say, transportation funding is reaching a crisis if it's not already there. There's just not enough money. And what we're going to have to figure out pretty quickly is how we're going to get that money. I think everyone agrees or most people agree we just don't have the general fund money to divert to transportation, particularly when we're cutting the budget left and right. So we're going to have to make some very difficult choices. Some of the House Republicans want to just shift the burden to the localities and say, okay, you can impose these taxes. But a lot of us think that's a mistake because you do not want to balkanize the Virginia transportation system where you have localities that can afford roads, have roads, and those that don't.
We'll be right back to the 1920s.
Yeah, so we're going to have to make some really tough choices and figure out where we're going to get $1 billion a year.
And that's what we're missing. It's $1 billion a year.
Yes.
And is this all that no car tax stuff? Is that where it started with Gilmore's no car tax?
No, I mean that's part of it. I mean the bottom line is that things are expensive. It's with the growth that we've had, particularly in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, the current and transportation infrastructure is just inadequate. We need, two more crossings in Hampton Roads, bridges or tunnels. We need more roads because we've got too many cars in Northern Virginia. And then the rest of the state, we just need maintenance money right now, never mind new construction. And costs have gone up. We have more projects that we need, and we have less money to deal with.
What do you think of the chances we are going to see an increase in the gas tax? Virginia has one of the lowest gas taxes in the country. It hasn't increased it in, over 20 years. Are we going to see that, or do you think there is still adamant powers in Richmond that just refuse to take that step?
Yeah, I don't think we have the votes to get a gas tax increase. I think that there are enough people adamantly opposed to it that that's a non-starter.
And why is it the ideology of taxes, or
yeah,
is it they're just afraid that somebody's, they'll lose in a primary, that they could lose office for doing that?
It's a combination of things. There is a crowd that will vote no against raising taxes of any kind, no matter what. There are other people who are worried that with rising gas prices, that this is just not the time to increase the gas tax. So I think for those two reasons, and for a lot of people in both of those camps, they're afraid if they vote for a gas tax that they will either get a primary challenge or get defeated next November.
We're talking with Jennifer McClellan, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, represents most of the city of Richmond. It really is a fascinating issue. Now, what do you say to some folks who insist, really, that, you have $1 billion a year. It's in there somewhere. You're wasting it. If you just figure out how to move the money around, you won't need any new taxes.
It's not there. remember, our general fund budget covers education, health care, or Medicaid, and Medicare in particular, and the bulk of that money is already spoken for with K-12 education and Medicaid. And that's part of why we're having a problem getting a budget passed right now with the reduced budget forecast. There are very different views in the House and Senate on how we control our education and our healthcare, Medicare costs. And I mean, right now we can't even agree on that, let alone saying, okay, now let's fund more money for transportation. We have, and the governor has, since the revenue forecast went down, cut as much as possible. There just is no waste left to cut, and certainly not $1 billion worth.
Can you give us an idea of perhaps some of the key legislation that crossed your desk this session, maybe even some of the things that you worked on yourself?
Sure. I was on the Governor's Commission on Sexual Violence, and that had three recommendations, one of which I patroned for bills. My bill would, or will, because it passed, eliminate the defense of a subsequent marriage to carnal knowledge with a child 14 years or older. It's an antiquated law. Everybody agrees there's no reason for it to be on the books. We also passed legislation that would prohibit the prosecutor from requiring the victim of a crime, of a rape or sexual crime, to take a lie detector test as a condition of pursuing the case. And we also passed legislation that would take care of reimbursements for PERT kits. Those are the sort of rape kit. Once a woman's been raped, she goes to the hospital, and a rape kit is what's used to collect forensic evidence. And we've provided that the victim would be reimbursed for that.
You mean right now a victim has to pay for their own rape kit?
I think it's different in different places, but this law would just make it clear.
Yeah, yeah. That would make a lot of sense that we as a community would cover that cost of a potential rape victim coming in to get a test to confirm that she was raped, that she wouldn't have to pay for that test.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. How about some of the other larger issues? That payday lending, looks like there's some type of compromise there?
We think so. I mean, with payday, we have a compromise bill that got out of the House and Senate Commerce and Labor Committees. It is a bill a lot of us are conflicted on. It is better than nothing. It's better than the status quo. But there are a lot of us, particularly in the Black Caucus, who think it could go a little bit further. It'll come up on both the House and the Senate floors tomorrow, and we're trying to figure out, can we put floor amendments on? Do we just send it to the governor, let him take a crack at it? So stay tuned on that one. We did a comprehensive reform of the mental health laws in response to the Virginia Tech tragedy and the recommendations of the Tech panel that did everything from the most significant thing it did was to change the criteria for civil commitment to make it a little clearer, a little easier for the courts to administer. We also closed a loophole that the governor had closed administratively, that if someone has been civilly committed or ordered mental health treatment, that would get in the database that is checked to determine whether or not someone can buy a gun. So we did that. And We passed several bills, and actually the committee meeting I'm getting ready to go to will take care of one of these, but we had a lot of bills trying to get at this mortgage crisis, you know, with the collapse of the housing industry and the subprime mortgage industry, trying to protect consumers from, you know, predatory mortgage pricing or practices. So we did a lot.
You've been very busy. Jennifer McClellan is a member of the Virginia House of Delegates and a member of the State Board at the Sorenson Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia. Jen, I'm going to let you go because I know you got another meeting here you have to rush off to, and we really appreciate your time.
I do, and I'd love to come back and talk to you when I don't have anywhere else to be.
Absolutely. We'll look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jennifer McClellan, representative from the city of Richmond in the Virginia House of Delegates.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.